Good evening. We'll be starting in about 5 minutes, maybe four. We will be starting in 1 minute. No. No.
Yeah, Sheldon Eagles, but he's an orthodox Jew.
There are a few.
He's in Vegas.
Doesn't look like it.
Hello?
Okay. Where are you going?
The Palm Desert.
Understood.
My brother's there. I just want to see him.
Understood. Okay. Please.
He's not a well person. He's got about 5 years ago, he discovered cancer in his esophagus, and they removed it. They removed his esophagus, and they filled up his stomach.
Right.
They removed the stomach, and that surgery. So what happened is, the food goes down the lip pipe, and it gets the pneumonia.
I'm sorry to hear it, Joe. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear it. We can talk in a little bit.
He's here. I want to see him, Joe. You never know.
Please join me in saying the Anabapoah. Anabapoah, Gedulat Yemincha, Tatir, Terura, Aleph Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. This connects us to the consciousness of unconditional love and to the name of God, Vav Shin Resh, dealing with patterns. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Noa Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, cross satan, tear up satan. And they can be rearranged to spell sha'ar katan, which means small gates. And it's a reminder to us to guard our gates, our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, which are the entry points for the negative system. And the letters of the month, the kuf that created the constellation Pisces, which is the fishes, which in Hebrew is the dagim, and the gimel that created the planet Jupiter, the planet Tzedek in Hebrew. Together, the kuf and the gimel connect us to the phrase Kadosh Gomel, which means the poor are holy. Na gibor dorshe yehudfa kevavat shamre nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Nun gimel dalet connects us through its gematria of 57 to Parnassah. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that helps us take back the energy we've given to the negative side. Barhem Tacharen Rakame Shikata Shamid Gamlen Betet Resh Tzaditav Gimel. Tasim Kadosh Zero to Ha Nael Adata Het Kufet Het Nunayim Yahid Yeh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Het Kufet Het Nunayim Yahid Yeh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayim Kuf Shalatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Sadi Yud Tav. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. We're reading from the Zohar from the Parsha of Kitise, section 8. What are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 44. Vayino amadunai Elohinu aleinu maasei adenu kunenei aleinu maasei adenu kunenehu. Eliyahu makiti bay Viyago vayeshev tachat Rotem echad v'gomer Amar mare di alma Ite tachada Shadrat lonely Israel Uborashe madikti Vehi yoshevet tachat Tomer devorah Dahu rotem Viachadrat Lon limutav Dikti vat shekemti Devorah viana Alit penehu Viachrazit kamahu Vilayakilna. Of Elijah it is written, and came and sat down under a broom tree. He said, Master of the universe, you sent a woman to Israel, Deborah by name, as it is written, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Devorah. This is the broom tree Elijah sat under. And she returned them to good conduct, as it is written, until I, Devorah, arose. And I have come among them and have spoken loud before them, yet I cannot make them repent. This verse is talking about tshuva. It's explaining the relationship of Elijah and why he was requested to go to every Brit, why we invite him to every Brit. It's explaining some of the esoteric reasons behind the rituals involved and the relationship of Elijah coming to every Seder for the cup of Elijah, for the fifth cup of wine. There's a lot of issues dealing with it. Eliyahu, with Elijah the prophet. And this section is dealing with that, and this verse is the entry verse for that. But it's appropriate because tonight we're going to be giving you some information about the name Eliyahu. But that's for a little bit later. Feel free to open up the page. It's yeshem.com/sy27.htm. There's a separate link, which I will open up later on as we go through the class, and that link is on this page. And that link will be yeshem.com/havayah, H-A-V-A-Y-A-H .jpg. But if you open up sy27.htm, when we get to that link, you'll be able to open it up automatically. Before we start, does anybody have any questions or comments? And yes, I know, Chris, you don't yet have that fixed. Any other questions or comments? Okay, we're continuing in our class on the Sefer Yetzirah. In this class, we are starting chapter 5. There's a total of 6 chapters. There's about 13 or 14 more classes to go. But chapter 5 on its surface level appears like it's speaking about the elemental letters, and it does. And it appears like it's doing so in the same way that chapter 4 spoke about the double letters and chapter 3 about the mother letters. But each of the chapters is somewhat unique and teaching something different in a little different way. And yet all of the meditations taught for one set of letters apply to the other set, except the meditation I'm going to teach you this class. This class is a unique class, not chapter 5 itself, but this particular class. And it happens to be my favorite meditation. And because of the uniqueness of this meditation, while we're talking about Mishnah 5.1, and I don't think we'll get to Mishnah 5.2 today, we're not going to read the Mishnah. We're going to approach it from a different perspective. The Sefer Yetzirah in Mishnah 5.1 refers to the elemental letters as Pashut, which is usually translated as simple or single letters. Please understand the metaphors that have been described throughout the Sefer Yetzirah. In the first Mishnah of chapter 1, there are three metaphorical terms. Sefer, Sefar, and Sipur. You may remember these. We translated this as book, story, and storyteller. We also shared some other appropriate translations with you. But these are metaphors. What is a book? What is the story? And what is the storyteller? And how do they relate to each other? In many other of the Mishnayot, there are the three metaphors of Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. We have translated Olam as world, or physicality, or the three dimensions of our world. We have translated Shana as year, or time. And finally, Nefesh has been translated as soul, or mind, or consciousness. Now in chapter 5, we are being introduced to another three-level metaphor. The mother letters, the double letters, and the Pashut letters, or the simple letters. They are similar metaphors if you do not get stuck in the level of the specific understandings, but climb up above the glass walls of the fish tank. Remember that metaphor of the fish tank with the different colored glass on the ends? What color is the fish depended on what glass you were looking through? But if you climbed up the walls of the fish tank and stood on top of the fish tank and looked down, you were able to see a more truthful color. I do hope you understand what is being said here. These are all different metaphors, all relating to similar things, and yet they're different metaphors, and we need to reconcile them and understand them. And many times in the teachings of Kabbalah and the various books, and even in my own teaching, I'll jump from one set of metaphors to the other. It's important that you learn to follow these various sets of metaphors. Here is a new understanding of the three terms, Sefer, book, Sefer, book, Sefer, story, and Sipur, the storyteller. The book, the Sefer, is Hashem. The storyteller is man. The story is up to us and the level of our consciousness. This is another set of metaphors. We need to start to think in terms of these different metaphors and what do they actually mean. Using this metaphor of Hashem and man and our consciousness, we are talking about a tree of knowledge, good and evil. We are making an additional metaphor. Try and understand how I have arrived at this metaphor of the tree of knowledge. And what is the tree of knowledge? What does your intuition tell you about this particular metaphor? Is it true? Do these three terms, Sefer, Sefer, Sipur, do these three terms actually mean man, his relationship to God, to Hashem, and the consciousness of how he perceives this? Or is it totally off base? What do you think? Is it true or is it a lie? Do we understand what it means to be good and evil? Can one be both good and evil at the same time? You need to question these. You need to ask these questions and use these questions in your meditations. Go ahead, Joe.
Is that considered the media, the connection between Hashem and man, the storyteller?
Hashem could be the storyteller. Man could be the consciousness, and the story is how man perceives what Hashem is teaching. There are different ways of looking at these metaphors. I'm not clarifying. I'm not defining them. It's up to you to define them and work with them within your meditations. You're going to find yourself amazed by that experience. There is another name for these metaphorical relationships. Olam Briya, Olam Yetziran, Olam Asiya. The book of creation, the book of formation, and the book of action, or the world of action. Our sages teach that these three worlds are ultimately an illusion. They will disappear. They're not real. Therefore, we can jump back and forth with our terms and descriptions, and we are really describing the same thing. Again, use this in your meditations and learn what these three worlds are all about, what these metaphors are all about, and how they relate to each other. Remember the joke. It's called Cuckoo Kabbalah, because it seems like it's cuckoo. But don't let it make you cuckoo. Learn to know when it's time to stop delving and just laugh at the situation. We've now reached a point where we can open up the handout, and that's where the link is. And I'll read the spelling of the link for people who need it. It's at yashem.com/ the folder called Rituals, RITUALS, /, havayot.jpg, and that's spelled HAVAYOT. Not the way I spelled it earlier. Forgive me for making that error. This is the correct way, the correct link. And when you open this up, you see 13 spellings, 13 permutations of the tetragrammaton. Most with the same vowels, but one set, the one at the top, has a totally different set of vowels. And you'll notice that the name at the top, the first three letters, Yud, He, and Vav, refers to, or is the same order and spelling and vowels in the name Eliyahu. But it has a final He, and we're going to discuss this as we move along. Also notice that there are three rows of four spellings of the tetragrammaton. Each of those rows, the first letter, spells out Yud, He, Vav, He. So we have three complete spellings out, and then we have three, or we have 12 complete spelling outs, permutations, and then we have three of the correct order, three of the same name all over again. So in that sense, we now have 15 basic connections, with the title being the 16th. There is a relationship between each tetragrammaton and one of the 12 months of the Hebrew calendar. That is Mishnah 5.5. As is seen in the additional Mishnayot from chapter 5, there are other relationships between the different spellings and the elemental letters, as well as the diagonal boundaries of the Tree of Life. That's Mishnah 5.2. Also, there's a relationship between the 12 spellings and the attributes for our senses. That's discussed in Mishnah 5.1. Although we do not think that of some of these as senses, when you look at what 5.1 says, and we will do so next week, I believe, you're not sure that they're talking about senses by what they talk about. Is speech a sense? Is movement or action a sense? And yet the 12 represents sense. And we'll come to understand that. There is a relationship. Go ahead.
There's six senses, we know.
Well, there are five basic senses on the physical world. There's sight, sound, touch, smell, and speech. Those are the five basic senses. But we also know there is a sixth sense, which we refer to as the third eye or the psychic sense. But we know that those, that sense is broken into additional senses. There's actually 12 different senses that are physical, and there are 12 senses that are metaphysical. But we don't think of it in that terms. We don't look at the world that way. There is a... Yes, it's like a subset, but it's not. They each have their own, on their own level. It's like we have... Last week we spoke about the seven holes in the head. And we spoke of those seven holes in the head as relating to certain sephirot. But we also said that those seven holes in the head relate to the seven senses. Now we're saying that it's not seven senses, there's 12 senses. And later on in another class or another teaching of the Sefer Sadi Yetzirah will describe that there are 12 senses. And later on, we'll raise that number to 22. And later on, we'll raise that to 32. And later on, we'll raise it to 42. And then to 72. But it takes some understanding and some development and some preparation to understand the world this way. Continuing. There is a relationship between each tetragrammaton and one of the 12 months of the Hebrew calendar. As is seen in the additional Mishnayot from chapter 5. Mishnah 5.5 relates to the 12 months. But there are other relationships in the other Mishnayot. There's the diagonal boundaries, there's the elemental letters, there's different aspects of the Tree of Life. This is all from Mishnah 5.2. Also, there is a relationship between the spellings and the attributes of our senses, which is Mishnah 5.1. And as I said, we don't really see some of these as senses. They actually are, and we'll talk about that as we reach them. But is speech a sense or an action? How about movement? Is that a sense to be able to move or an action? We're going to come to understand the meaning of the word sense, which right now we don't. There is a relationship between the...
Sense.
I'm not defining it yet at all. I'm using it, but I haven't defined it. And this is really the part of the teaching of Kabbalah. Only use words that you understand the definition. And the way that's taught to you is to look at some of the ways, what's called a sense, and say, but that's not what I understand the sense to be. But we're not there yet. We'll get there. There's a relationship between the depth, the 12 permutations, the 12 spellings, and the signs of the zodiac. That's Mishnah 5.4. Also the 12 directors of the soul, whatever that is. That's Mishnah 5.6. And finally, we will need to learn which spelling is male and which is female, referred to in many in the Mishnayot of chapter 5. Here is an amazing teaching from the Zohar, and it takes much meditation even to begin to intuit its meaning. This teaching is simple. Abba bara bacha. Translated, father creates daughter. What does that mean? It's multiple metaphors. Abba is olam atzilut, the mother letters, keter hachma. Daughter is olam asiyah, the elemental letters, and malchut. Father creates daughter. An adage, a metaphor. What does it mean? We can now ask, what is the true meaning of this? Did not Atzilut create Bina? Also, as well as the sun, Zeranpin? So why does the Zohar say Abba creates daughter and not the others? Then there are many more questions we could ask. The Zohar teaches that the beginning thought was Malchut. The thought of creation was, what was the end of creation going to look like? That's Malchut. This is the nature of thought. While the last action is called Malchut, manifestation, is this process metaphor or something else? Because understand these questions I'm raising. They're not philosophy. Although sometimes people perceive this as philosophy, and they call it Jewish philosophy, but that's not what it is. Meditate upon it, and then learn to do into it directly. Even ask the question, what is meant by the word intuit? How does intuition affect us? How do we utilize it? How do we connect to our intuition? All very good questions. What happens when we think? Are we still in the world of action? Or have we managed to enter a higher world, the world of formation? Olam Yetzirah, according to modern string theory, our world of action has mass, which is not true for the higher worlds. String theory calls worlds dimensions. There is an upper limit of vibration known as the speed of light. When we vibrate below that speed, we are in the dimension of mass in our physical world. When we vibrate above that speed, we are in the dimension without means, without mass. We call a dimension without mass a spiritual dimension. I didn't hear the question, Joe. Hello? Moving along. My teacher postulates. Yes?
No, could you give me that link again for the communications of the letters that you were talking about? I got my other computer up and running on a router. So I'm going to see if I can get that page.
It's yeshem.com/havayot.jpg. H-A-V-A-Y-O-T.
H-A-V-A-Y-O-T.jpg.
Yes, but that's connected to yeshem.com/havayot.jpg.
The question I'm asking,
One second, there is a question on the telephone. Yes. Somebody have a question on the telephone conference? You need to press *6, so I'm going to change it so that you can speak directly. I apologize. You should be able to just speak out now, and I should be able to hear you. Does anybody have a question who's on the telephone? Okay. Joe, you were starting to ask another question?
You're saying the speed of light is the supposed speed of light. Well, the scientists say the speed of light is impossible.
No, they're saying that the speed of light is the upper limit for mass. The spiritual world is the world of energy. There's no mass. Things are vibrating at a speed higher than the speed of light. Science is proving that we can travel faster than the speed of light, but not with mass.
That one.
It's energy. It's consciousness. We haven't defined it. They're still playing with it. The Kabbalah calls it consciousness. The Kabbalah calls it the world of energy. What is mass? It's another form of energy. E equals mc squared is defining mass in relationship to energy.
Mass has to be light.
Mass has an upper limit of the speed of light, according to science. It isn't necessarily true from Kabbalah, but let's say it is. Mass cannot go greater than the speed of light, but consciousness can. Energy can. Mass can't.
All right, so is energy a spirituality, or is it spirit, or is it a mass in a different form?
What is the meaning to you of the formula E equals mc squared?
Energy equals a mass times speed of light.
You're telling me what the formula says. You're not telling me what it means to you. You have a gram of mass. If you put enough energy to that gram and take it to the speed of light, the formula is defining the amount of energy in the gram of mass. It's defining how much energy it took you to move that gram of mass to the speed of light.
Right.
Okay. What is mass? It's energy in a different form. What is being happy? It's energy in a different form than the sun, but it's still energy. Being happy takes energy, doesn't it?
So this energy has a limit of the speed of light. Okay.
Mass has the limit of the speed of light. Energy doesn't have that limit.
But isn't energy mass?
They're equivalent. In this dimension only, Joe, but there's other dimensions. And the other dimensions have their own natural laws. And the formula in the other dimension isn't E equals MC squared. It's another formula. Hasn't been defined by the scientists.
No, there's another dimension that is above and beyond our natural phenomena.
There's three other dimensions above and beyond our. There's nine other dimensions above and beyond our natural world. Different metaphors. There's 10 spherot and there's 5. Keter, Hoch, Mabina, Zeron, Pin, and Malchut. There's 10. Keter, Hoch, Mabina, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. These words are metaphors. This is what I'm trying to get across to you all. It is difficult because it's intuitive. It's not logical. There are different dimensions. There are 22 dimensions. The number of the letters. The letter Aleph is creating a dimension, and it has its own set of rules, its own set of laws in the dimension we call Aleph. The Ari comes and talks about the world of Das, which is higher than the letters. That's the world of the vowels. We spoke about it on Sunday. These are all different metaphors. We're using words, but we're not understanding the words we're using. We're saying it's a letter. In Hebrew, we're saying it's an otiot, letters. It's a sign. It's a metaphor for energy. What is the energy formulas that work in the world of Aleph, in the dimension of Aleph? I haven't told them to you. You can develop them. You work them out yourself the same way the Kabbalists did. How did they do it? Did they go to the world of Aleph, to the dimension of Aleph? Or they looked at the natural world and said there's a direct one-to-one correspondence between everything in the natural world and everything in the world of Aleph. So by studying the natural world, I can understand the laws of the world of Aleph. Or maybe they went there. Maybe they took their body and traveled there through space and time. I'm not giving you the answer. I'm telling you to intuit what is the truth. Listen to your intuition. My teacher...
The letter Aleph...
Go ahead, Joe.
...says a lot of things.
The letter Aleph says a lot of things, and each one of those things it says... is in the world of Aleph. And every word that has an Aleph in the second position is in the world of Aleph. And that's why I say it's a dimension. That's why I say it's a metaphor. I'm trying to break out of your limitations.
It's going to be huge.
What, the world of Aleph is huge? It's very narrow.
Is that on 22 dimensions?
Yeah, every one of the letters has its own dimension.
Oh,
And yet they're all one in the dimension called letters.
You're blowing me away, man. I can't
Wait till you get to the meditation. Then I'll blow you away. Right now, we're just playing. You're trying to use your intuition in a form of logic, and it doesn't work. Let me go on.
No, logic won't work with this.
Not at all.
Logic won't work with this.
Correct.
No.
The letter of serves as a connection from the spiritual world to the world we live in. It's a conduit.
Okay. Let's accept that that's true.
Yeah,
so what?
Right so far.
Yes, you're right.
That's how we receive dollars. Am I right?
That's how we receive it, or how we see the olive?
How we receive the olive is the connection between the olive and from the spiritual, as a pipe between our world and the spiritual world. There's a linkage.
We agree. There's a linkage, and we perceive that linkage, that channel, in the form and the sound and the meaning of the word and the letter Aleph. And every word that starts with an Aleph, there is something in the world of Aleph that has that connection. And every word that starts with, that has an Aleph as the second letter, there is a something in the world of Aleph. And I can look at the word in our world and know what the world of Aleph will show me when I arrive there. When you break out of your limited senses, when you break out of the limitation you put on yourself, that's what this is saying.
When the hell is that going to happen?
How or when?
Yeah, when? Here's my
nature imagination. am I doing taking the right step by imagining that as a leap?
Joe, there's no right and there's no wrong. It's how you perceive it. So from your perspective, it's correct. From Chris's perspective, he doesn't want to perceive it that way. He wants to perceive it in the sense of time. The Aleph is time. You don't perceive the Aleph as time. How do I know Chris wants to perceive it as time? Because that's his question. When is it going to happen? He has the answer. He knows the answer. I hope you're appreciating this laughter on the telephone conference. We limit ourselves, and I am trying to ask people and explaining to people that when you do meditation, you exceed your perceptions. You exceed the physical world. You exceed, and you go somewhere. Where do you go? Where do you want to go? Where is that? One of these different worlds, one of these different dimensions. That's why I stress this is the 27th class for 26 classes, and when I finish this class, it'll be 27. Practice. Meditate. Use the tools I'm teaching you. and then experience what you've experienced, and then you know you won't be able to explain it to somebody else, but you'll have your own experience. You'll have your own intuition and perception and overall impact. And it's all correct. It's never wrong. It's how you play the game, how you perceive the perceptions, how you perceive the dimensions. May I continue?
Yes.
My teacher postulates, he doesn't know for sure. What he thinks is happening is that when we meditate, we are increasing the speed of our vibration, which takes us into these other dimensions. We vibrate at a speed greater than that of light. Mass can't go there, but consciousness can. And this is what he postulates is happening when we meditate. While we're in these other dimensions, we are building a body, or we're building a soul, but we're building something in our consciousness in this other dimension based on the rules of science and physics and their natural laws of that world and dimension. When we go through the process of running and returning, remember that from earlier in the Sefer Yetzirah? When we run and return, when we leave that dimension and we come back here, and then we go running back to that dimension and then we come back to this dimension. When we run and return, we bring that dimensional construct that was created in the world of Aleph, the world of Bet, the world of the other dimensions. We bring that dimensional construct into our world of mass. We lower its vibration just as we lower our own vibration when we return to this physical world. And all of a sudden, poof, there's something in this world that wasn't there before. We just created something new. Where did it come from? It came from our consciousness utilizing the natural laws of that other dimension. In my opinion, what my teacher just explained helps me to understand the teaching from the sages. The sages say every prayer, every word, every action we do creates an angel. Some of those angels are complete, some of them are not. But where do the angels get created? Not something God does. It's something we do by being in that other dimension. The difference is we can be conscious of being in that other dimension and creating what we want to create in that other dimension, or we cannot be conscious of it and just go through cause and effect. The cause is the words we speak in this world. The effect is what we create in that other dimension. Go ahead, Joe.
The old Beach Boys song, Vibration.
Absolutely. Why do you think the New Age people talk about vibrations? Why do you think they talk about increasing the frequency? Why do you think we now have revealed by science the string thing theory talking about vibrations?
String theory.
It's all connected.
I'm not off course with it, but
it's a wonderful song, and it's very true for me. There are people in the world that's not true. They perceive things differently. try and get away from this idea that you have to be right. You perceive what you perceive, and it's correct. But not everybody perceives the same thing in the same way. Now let's go back to the handout. The line at the top, the 13th name, which is on a line by itself at the top. Have you ever seen the tetragrammaton with these vowels? I know I never did until I saw this chart. What is this name? There was a time, 2,500 years ago or more, that there was no reason not to say the correct name of Hashem. There was always a name that the high priest said once a year on Yom Kippur in the Holy of Holies. But there was a name of God that everybody knew what it was, and they said it. They didn't say Adonai. They said that name. They said that name with the vowels that I'm showing you there. What is that name? I'm not going to pronounce it because our sages have told us, don't pronounce it. They've said when you see Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey together, say, pronounce it Adonai. But 2,500 years ago or more, when people saw Yud Hey Vav Hey, they pronounced it Yakukei, which is what it says with those vowels. But I'm pronouncing it K, not Hey. Or I could say it's Yadudei, pronouncing it with the D. But you know what I'm saying and what I mean. That top name is the correct name for God and spelled in the Tetragrammaton. Those are the correct vowels. And we know this from the names Eliyahu, Jeremiah, and many other names of prophets. And names of people in the Tanakh, all with the letters Yud, Hey, Vav. But it's only when we've added that final Hey that we get that full name. Now, in our world, we've been told by the sages, by the rabbis, don't pronounce it that way. Pronounce it Adonai. And we need to be careful. The reason that they've given us is you may not have the vessel to handle the energy of what you draw down if you set it correctly. I don't know if that's the reason. It's not the reason. I'm stressing to you, don't pronounce it that way. But you can use that four-letter sequence with those vowels to meditate on. And you're going to find some interesting effects in your life when you do that.
The Yud Hey Vav Hey
with the vowels, the way it is at the top of the chart. One of the sages called the Ramak, Rabbi.
Can you read the chart? I know.
I'm sorry? What did you say, Chris?
I couldn't get the chart. I know. It
wouldn't
come up.
It's the same issue you got.
I couldn't get the chart. It wouldn't come up.
I understand. It's the same thing we went through last night. You need to get it corrected. The Ramak also teaches that the elemental letters, the Ramak is Rabbi Moshe Cordovero. He teaches that the elemental letters, when meditated upon, converge into their higher selves, and therefore they take on the attribute of Pashut, of simple letters. But what does simple mean? It also means expansive. Pashut means both simple and expansive. These letters expand until infinity. These letters become the borders of our infinite universes. The power for this expansion comes from the permutations of the tetragrammaton. This is the meaning behind the correlation of the months of the year, the signs of the zodiac, which correlate to the permutations of the tetragrammaton. Every month I'm sending you these out with the permutations, and I'm explaining to you how they work. Every month you're getting this and growing your knowledge base. All so that this will enhance and help you. The 12 permutations, the 12 elemental letters, the 12 signs of the zodiac, the 12 borders of the universe, the 12 senses, the 12 parts of the human body, all of these correlate at a higher and higher level, becoming more and more unified, while in this world they appear more and more separated. With the proper meditation, we can move into those higher worlds and create unity. And then when we return to this world, we can bring that unity back into the physical world. And all of a sudden, what was in this physical world as separated has become unified. These 12 sets of correlations, which are truly one higher essence, become the 12 components of the Keter of the world of Atzilut, of Yetzirah, together with a higher name as written at the top of the chart. They correlate to the 13 attributes of Zeranpin, which is revealed by the Torah in the Parasha of Ki Tisah. These 13 attributes, you've heard them. Adonai, Adonai, El Rahum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notze Chesed La'alafim, Notze Avon V'Apua Pesha, V'chata'a v'makei. These 13 attributes relate to the 13 parts of the beard of Zeranpin. These 13 parts of the beard are available in the Tashlik service, that cleansing service that we do once per year during Tishrei, during the 22 days of the holiday of Tishreis. Some say it is say that on the Keter of Rosh Hashanah, and some say it on the Malchut level, Hoshana Rabbah. I'm going to skip because I'm out of time, but I'm going to give you the meditation. I'm going to describe the meditation without reading it. This is my favorite meditation. Do you see the letters with the vowels in the different ways, the different permutations? Not the top words that we just went over, not Yadu Day, But it, below that, the 12 names below, below that, I'm going to read it top to bottom, right to left. I'm doing it short. I should be doing it longer. I should be using my head movement that you've been taught. I should be using the breathing that you've been taught. The next column. Hey, hey, yo, wah. Hey, hey, wah, yo. Hey, wah, yo, hey. Are you feeling any energy? Do you sense what's going on? Let me finish before you ask a question. Why, yo, hey, hey. Why, hey, yo, hey. Why, hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo, hey, wah, hey, wah, hey, yo. Hold your questions, because I'm going to describe something and do it again in a different way, a different tempo, a different order. Same order, different, you'll see. The point is, there's a group of Muslims called Sufis that are called the mystics of the Muslim religion. The technique the Sufis utilize is dance. They're called whirling dervishes. And they turn round and round and round in circles. And they have special costumes that reinforce that movement. Stand up and dance. Go in circles. Yo hey wa hey yo hey hey wa wa yo wa hey 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 yo wa hey hey wa yo hey wa yo hey wa yo hey hey wa hey yo hey wa hey hey yo wa hey yo wa hey hey yo hey wa hey wa hey yo. Circle, 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 circle. Yo hey wa hey yo hey hey wa yo wa hey 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 yo wa hey hey wa yo hey wa yo hey. Why yo hey hey why hey yo hey why hey hey yo hey yo why hey hey yo hey why hey why hey yo. Over and over and over, like the word that we don't like to use called mantra. Say it over and over. Memorize it. So the words, the sound, the energy just flows from you as you go round and round and round. This is a unique meditation. It's the most fun meditation I have ever performed. It is truly wonderful.
Where's that bring you to?
Find out. I can't tell you, Joe. Joe, I can't tell you. Where I go, you'll go someplace else. There's no right or wrong. Go. You're going to have fun.
Does that bring you into some kind of, a trance?
Yes. Yes.
Meditation is trance.
Are there any other questions or comments? As I said, we're out of time. Feel free to read the rest of the page.
Okay.
There's a lot of good information.
Hello?
Yes, Chris.
I finally found my answer on Indian chanting. This is almost exactly like that.
I have a student that I taught this to. He goes out into the woods on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and other high-energy days. He undresses nude in the forest, and he dances in circles doing this. And he goes to a place he calls nature. He goes to a world of nature. He goes to a dimension of nature. Everything is correct. Do it in the water. Do it in a pool. Do it in a lake. Do it in a stream. The energy is amazing. Where you go is unbelievable. Enjoy. Experiment. Learn.
Expand.
Expand, correct. I love this meditation. I do this meditation rather than the Amidah many times.
I like it. I like this one.
Are there any comments from the telephone? Any questions? Try it. It's really fun. It's fun to go, whoa, 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 you know, with your hand like the Indians did. And it is very much the sound of the Hopi Indians in their dances. You've heard of the ghost dances of the Cherokees, I believe, or the Apaches. Whereas if they were in their ghost trance, they couldn't be shot. This is the source. It's all part of where you go. Which dimension will you reach? Yes, Chris.
Can we use music along with that?
Absolutely. That's what the Sufis do. Music and dance. Music and dance and chanting. This is where it's a meditative technique to go into Joe's trance.
Yeah.
I will describe one time. I was in Club Med in my younger days, before I became spiritual. I was at Club Med, and I was dancing to some rock and roll music, and I didn't know this, and I didn't say a word, but I went someplace. I was not physically present, but my arms were gyrating. My body was moving in circles. The whole dance floor stopped and stared at me, and I was told later it was a good 10 minutes before I even noticed, before I returned. And I must have been gone longer because they just, you know, they noticed it whenever because I was going faster and faster in my dancing, in my circling, in my whirling. Didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have the information that I've learned from my teachers. Enjoy, experiment, expand, learn.
These people are taking drugs. That doesn't help either.
Taking drugs is somebody who wants to get a shortcut. But they won't get as high as you'll get with this meditation. Well, the truth is you'll get as high. But with this meditation, you won't have the fall. With drugs, you'll have the fall.
Yeah, you get the ball.
You don't feel anything. But you experience. How many people, there are people that get into this experience. written down what they experienced.
Carlos Castaneda. There are many people who've written it down, but they've done it based on drugs, not based on just doing it and writing it down.
It's a very
it's a unique experience, unique to you, whoever does it. You cannot describe it to other people. You keep trying, Joe, to pull that out of me, and it's not there. There's no words to describe what you experience. It's above words. And I can't paint a picture to show you. But come there with me. You'll love it. I'm going to call the class session. I've got to get traveling. If anybody has any questions, you can call me. I'll be up most of the night driving. Remember the Purim. Megillah reading is Wednesday night and Thursday night and Thursday day and Friday day. And next class on next Monday may be a question and answer class, or maybe we'll go through the balance of this page and we'll go over this again just in case you didn't understand it this time or I haven't imposed upon you or recommended enough to try it, because it's really fun. Everybody have a beautiful week. Purim Sameach. Happy Sameach. Happy Purim.
Good night. Good
night.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Laura, is that you?
This is Evelyn. I said safe travel.
How are you, Evelyn? It's nice to hear from you again, still.
I'm good. Have a safe travel. Have safe travels on your trip.
Thank you.
We'll talk soon.
Be well. Try doing this. It's really fun.
I will let you know how it goes.
Okay. Great. Bye-bye.
Okay.